Hey, everybody, thank you for supporting Lakeshore Public Radio. We love you for it at 89.1 FM on the dial and streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. It's time now for Midwest Beats, a program all about music and the people who make it. I'm your host, Tom Lounges, and today in studio, we're going to be debuting songs from the recording that you've heard songs before of. We've had Eric and Char in studio, and they've played music live. Well, today the album is officially in hand, and we're going to play the recorded versions as captured on the CD, on recording tape, by Mr. John Carpenter over at Thunderclap Studios. So we're going to be playing some songs from Beatin' the Odds. It's the new Eric Lambert album, and we'll talk about where you can hear them live this weekend. Stay tuned. Hey everyone, Tom Lounges here with an incredible show of music that is Midwest Beat. This program is all about music and the people who make it. And today I've got a show I'm very excited about. We're going to talk about where you can see these artists. They'll be performing this Saturday. They'll be debuting the album you're going to get some snippets of today. And I know some of these songs will be familiar to the longtime listeners of Midwest Beat. We've had Eric Lambert and Char in studio in the past, a few times over the past year or so. They've played some of the music live acoustically. But what you're going to hear is the actual recordings from Thunderclap Studio with all the additional sounds, all the extra mixing and the heavy work, as Eric says, that John Carpenter did. So we're going to play some music from the album. The album is called Beatin' the Odds. It's brand spanking new. In fact, it's not quite out yet, but it will be this weekend. And we're going to start with the title track, and then Eric and Char will join us to talk about the making of this incredible music. Beatin' the Odds, Eric Lambert.
When it feels like the whole world's against you, and it's hard to get out of the bed, you feel like your insides are empty, and the voices, they scream in your head. You drop to your knees, beg and say please, turn yourself over to the gods. That's just the first step. Go well on your way to finally beating the odds. Oh, that well of loneliness drowned you. You need to come up for some air. The climb can be steep. There's help on the way. It will pull you right out of despair. You know you were meant to be more than you are now. It's okay to dream and believe. You're standing up straight. You notice the odds. You're finally beating the odds. Now don't let your own mind fool you. You're just the way you've been raised. Don't take that old guilt upon you. Just look inside and you'll be amazed. When you feel like born on the bottom, you won't quit till you're on the top. You've lost your excuses, the gallery applauds. You're finally beating the odds. Some like the tune you've been playing. They see you as wearing a crown. Well, we all have to climb our own mountain to feel our face warmed by the sun. Just be the real you, no need. need for the size. You're finally beating the odds. You're finally beating the odds.
Happy song. What a happy song. I was, I'm not usually up early in the morning. I was driving down Route 20, heading to the store, and the sun was in my face, and there was not a car on the road, and it was a very weird experience for me. And I was playing this album, and that song came on, and it just set the mood, the tempo, the groove for the day. Beating the odds. You know, when the sun's out and it's a beautiful day and the rain's nowhere to be found, you feel like you can conquer the world. And that song is like the soundtrack to that. It's also the title track to the new album by Eric Lambert. Eric and Char are in studio with me. Hello.
Hey.
Always
good morning.
A pleasure to have you
Early
guys
riser.
With us. Yeah. This is, I feel like it's midday for me already. I mean, like it's evening. You know, I mean, it's like been up so early today. But we have heard many of these songs, including that one, here on the show. And, of course, you've been playing shows at Bulldog and different places around the region. And you've been doing these songs acoustically, just the two of you. Dual harmonies and acoustic guitar.
Certainly acoustically and, you know, stripped down.
Right.
Just song and voices.
But here we're hearing the magic of the mandolin and the fiddle and the bass and the multiple vocal tracks. It's bringing new life to the songs. I mean, a good song is a good song, and it certainly stands up the way you've been performing it. I've been a fan of that. But now I'm a bigger fan of this. This is incredible.
Well, you know, the instrumentation comes from my bluegrass background.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fiddle and the mandolin. And this particular tune, you know, that fiddle and mandolin go back a long way. You know, to the Hot Club of France, you know, Django Reinhardt and mm-hmm. Stephen Grappelli and Joe Venuti and Eddie Lang. And more recently, you know, I was turned on to this style by David Grisman and Stephen Grappelli.
Okay.
And
and Grisman did a lot of work with Jerry Garcia. A little bit of work.
Later on,
yeah,
you
later.
Know, 90s. But Grisman brought Grappelli in, and they did a tour and produced an amazing live album. And it's all swing standards,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the primary soloists are mandolin and violin, you know. And, of course, that's where all of that comes from. And, you know, we can just start saying John Carpenter's name because we'll just
continue to repeat it.
Right.
Now, that was an original song that you wrote.
Yeah.
But it sounds like a period piece in so many ways. What was the mindset when you sat down? Did you hear all that instrumentation or did you write these lyrics about, you know, picking yourself up and saying, this is my day. It's going to be my day. I've beat the odds. Life's going to be better.
Well, whenever I had hit kind of a writer's block, I would talk to my mentor in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she had ways of getting me straightened out. And at this point, you know, I think she asked me the question, so what's the story behind this record? And you've heard a lot of the songs and mm-hmm. the stories. And I said, oh, you know, it's almost like people beating the odds and overcoming things in life. And she said, well, good, that's your next song, Beating the Odds. So as has happened with this recording process, the lyrics came first. It's the first time I've ever worked like this, but this is the way she had been teaching me. So the lyrics came first, and then the music in the shower.
Wow. It's interesting because you have a large body of work. You have been doing this a good many years. You've recorded with different groups. You've recorded several solo albums. And we've both been in the business long enough to know that even those with a large body of work, every once in a while, you mine gold. Not necessarily in sales, but in quality. And this album is that. I mean, I think all those other albums brought you to this.
Yeah.
And I know in the past when we've talked recently, you said your focus for the first time really was on the song as opposed to the playing. And I think that really stands out. The songs on here, for those that aren't familiar with it, all tell stories and all have weight to them. You do a song about Mother Earth, about all the stuff that's going on in the world, the earthquakes, the fires, the plague, everything. You talk about ageism with I'll Dance When I'm 100. You talk about the music setting you free, which is your life story. It seems like you finally grew into your own story and realized it is the music. That's the secret of who I am. I mean, that kind of stuff just seems to pop out at me as I'm listening to these words.
You know, this is the result of that the entire length of that journey,
mm-hmm.
all the recording, all the writing, all the touring over the years and culminating in this product. But again, I go back to my Nashville mentor, Cary Estrin. Now, you bring up the music set me free. And
that's a co-write, correct?
That's a co-write, okay. And that was written, her on the phone in Nashville and me in the Mustang in a Starbucks parking lot. And the point is, she knew where I needed to go, and I didn't. So she kind of pushed that song out of me,
mm-hmm.
because she already knew. From all of our discussions, from the relationship we'd built over the past couple of years, she already knew I needed to go there, and I needed to write it, and I needed to say it, and she kind of knew how to push it out of me.
Okay. This album has many stories of value, many stories to teach the next generation. As I mentioned, the Mother Earth song is moving. We're all living through that, the ageism, as all of us turn another year. And we've known each other since we were young, and we're not quite so young anymore.
Not quite.
So you've got that. You've got two songs about racism. You've got a song about guns and violence. You are just... It's coming out of you, all this amazing stuff. And it's interesting because we just celebrated the 42nd anniversary of No Nukes, and I did a thing on radio for that. And Mother Earth reminded me that we never get past caring and helping Mother Earth and ecology and the environment. I haven't heard an environmental song in a long time, and that song kind of brought it all home to me.
Well, speaking of pulling it out of me, I think it used the term pushed it through me or whatever, but pulling it, you know, you pull a song out of somebody, and mm-hmm. and Char and I were sitting on the couch, and Char started that whole conversation. Mother Earth is really pissed.
It's true. What made you suddenly realize that?
I can't start with that conversation, Tom, because there's so many things that she's pissed about. And so, like, I mean, we could go on forever with that. And it just needs to be addressed. It really needs to be addressed a lot. It's a lot. There's a lot going on to Mother Earth, and
mm-hmm.
we as individuals need to really start, you know, taking a look at what we are doing
right.
as on an individual basis that collaborate this huge thing.
When I did the No Nukes special recently, I played a lot of the songs from that and talked about the impact that album had. And, you know, a lot of people, when I'm at the record store, and I'll say, oh, the No Nukes album's a really good record, blah, 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 John Hall, this and that. And they're like, oh, you know, No Nukes, that's so, like, passé. And I said, wait a minute, you think this didn't have impact? I said, drive down I-65, see how many windmills you see. You know, see how few, how we're moving away from nuclear and gas and how many electric cars and hybrids are out there. It started with these folks singing about it, and people are growing, and it's becoming a norm now. So I think that songs like Mother Earth, maybe not in our lifetime, but maybe people will scratch their head and say, you know, they have some points there. Maybe we shouldn't frack, or maybe we shouldn't add another drill, you know, another oil field somewhere. Do you think people will learn? You talk about the greed. We have to let go of the greed. and embrace Mother Earth. Do you think we can ever conquer our love of money over our love of environment, a love of living, of breathing, of drinking clean water?
It's changing as we speak right now.
You really think so?
Absolutely. It has been changing, and it's going to become more and more aware. Yes, I do. It's happening as we speak.
I don't want to sound weird about this, but 64 years old,
mm-hmm.
Shar and I have started eating out of our garden for the first time in my whole life. I don't know why it took so long, but I can tell you, I'm so excited about that. We're eating tomatoes and peppers and celery and things out of our own garden, out of the garden that she's planted and mm-hmm. maintained. What a green thumb. But I think that sort of thing is changing, yeah.
I hear that from a lot of the elder statesmen. We talk with, like, Chris Hillman and people like that. And they're all starting to garden. It's pretty wild. These are the flower children of a different era, and they've flowered into environmentalist senior citizens. I mean, it's a belief that they started with and planted the seeds for, no pun intended, and it's grown into a scene where they are still living it in many, many cases.
Absolutely. Well, it's the road. As long as you're on the road, you eat what you can eat.
Okay.
This year and a half to 2 years has taught us a lot. We've been home. We can take care of ourselves. Shar just got up one day and started planting. And holy cow.
Wow. How big is your garden, Shar?
I just started with some seeds that I was eating some tomatoes, and I said, you know what, I'm going to grow these. And then I had some peppers, and I said, I'm going to start these seeds. And I just started. I had about 100 plants, and by the time I got done with some about four different kinds of vegetables that I ate, and it just was, I don't know, I just did it, and I have all these plants, and I overdid my marigolds, but they all came out great, and it was just from the food. I wanted to grow this year. I've had gardens before, but this year I wanted to start with the foods that I was eating from,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily seeds. But now I have heirloom seeds, so I have a garden. I have inside we have a little greenhouse that I'm going to be planting things for the winter.
So it'll be year round.
Inside, yes. Absolutely.
Wow.
And you know, just to contribute to that, this music that you're hearing, the garden she's planting, the closer we get to spirit,
mm-hmm.
the closer we get to whoever, whatever created us, the more this type of stuff happens, the music, the food we're growing with little or no effort, you know, mm-hmm. because that stuff flows through you.
It's like mm-hmm. suddenly this inherent wisdom starts nurturing.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's play that song. It's track number 2. It's simply called Mother Earth, and if you read the headlines or you watch the news, you'll recognize a lot of the situations are torn right from those headlines, and we're living it now, so maybe it's time to take care of Mother Earth. Put your arms around her. Hug a tree.
Mother Earth has had enough. We've taken all she'll give. Broke her heart, she got tough and changed the way we live. There's no amount of money that can satisfy the cost. We finally pushed her way too far, and what we knew is lost. She'll be here forever to care for you and me. If we show her respect and love and set aside our greed. She has to teach this lesson, and as much as it may hurt, she knows that it's for our own good. Her will she must assert. Now we can learn from our mistakes, or insist to have our way.
kick and scream and stomp our feet, be the mischief of the day. She'll be here forever to care for you and me. If we show her respect and love and set aside our greed. From the fires in California and the quake in Kathmandu, the tornadoes in Music City, she's angry, yes, that's true. The devastation in Puerto Rico and the flooding across the plains, a worldwide fatal virus, leave only us to blame. She'll be here forever to care for you and me. If we show her respect and love and set aside our greed. I remember watching baseball in the bleachers in the sun, with 30,000 screaming fans. Those afternoons were fun. And I remember hearing music and dancing on the lawn. I cherish those old memories. What we did then is gone. She'll be here forever to care for you and me. If we show her respect and love and set aside our greed. She'll be here forever to care for you and me. If we show her respect and love and set aside our greed. Mother Earth has had enough. We've taken all she'll give. We broke her heart, she got tough, and changed the way we live.
And that story is true. You just heard it. It's changed the way that they live. They, you know, grow their own food. And changes are coming every day in good ways and also in horrible ways, as that song points out. So, I mean, think about it. You know, these naysayers of global warming and all this. We're having earthquakes. We're having horrible forest fires and wildfires, more so than ever. We're having hurricanes how many times a year now? I mean, how many times can a city be beaten by the ocean and still pop back?
Goodness.
You know, I look at New Orleans and I'm like, why? Why do you stay there? I mean, I understand that's your home, but at some point, Mother Nature's saying, time to leave. Move on up to the east side, you know, something.
Right.
You know, it's but songs like this, I really think, and as I was saying off air, I'm very envious in some ways of the amazing songwriters that I know. And that is because you leave these pieces of yourself. You leave these little 3-minute pieces of wisdom that we hope that people will listen to. And maybe they're not getting it right now, but maybe 10 years, 20 years, 50 years from now, they will. And I mean, there's no denying people will not remember the songwriters who gave us this great legacy, just like they remember the great authors who are no longer with us. And I think, as I said, this is the album that you were meant to make. This is the one that took you on the journey and brought you here. And it closes out with a story, The Music Set Me Free, which I definitely want to get to. That is your story, and you even mentioned that in the notes. This album, as you listen to it, what are your thoughts? It's done. You've tweaked it all you can tweak it. You've lived with this for 2 years almost, a year in the making during COVID. I know you've been playing these songs for a while. Now that it's done, now that the release party is pending tomorrow. We'll talk about that in a minute, but the release party's tomorrow. These albums are out. You're done. Your soul is bared. You cannot change it. What are your thoughts right now?
Well, clearly it's the best thing that I've ever done.
You do agree with that?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Sure. And I completed some goals. And the primary goal, of course, was to become a better songwriter. Mm-hmm. And not a guitar player songwriter. And I think I did that. And this relationship I have with Carrie in Nashville was the reason why. A song that didn't make the final cut, I went down to Asheville to find you, was me going down to Asheville, North Carolina to get FaceTime with Carrie Estrin,
mm-hmm.
to ask her if she'd work with me.
Now that was at the beginning of your relationship.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is all a result of my activity in Folk Alliance International, which, you know, just opened so many doors and so many gates for me.
Right.
To meeting people and listening to songwriters and me saying, oh, my God, I can't do that. Or I don't know how to do that. Or I wish I could do that. Or finally,
I can do that.
I'm going to do that.
Right.
And so, you know, me. I have to get off that because Char helped me achieve this goal with her beautiful singing. Don Sternberg, who played everything that needed to be played and not a note more.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't tell him what to play. I didn't know what I wanted him to play. He just knew what to play. Kyle O'Brien.
He's a young man.
Kyle is a young man, Colorado fellow who had just come off the road with the Prowlers. You know, the same outfit that I had spent a few years out on the road with.
Mm-hmm.
And he had put up a post, you know, thanks everybody for the support. I'm now off the road with the Prowlers. And I sent him a message immediately. And he was in the studio in a couple of days. And John and I had two or three songs in mind. And he came in and he knocked all three of them out of the park. And he said, well, you know, I've still got some time. And I said, well, how about if we just start playing tracks? And he said, yeah, great.
So did he record at Thunderclap, or was
yes.
this long distance?
No, he recorded at Thunderclap.
Okay.
He was living in Chicago at the time.
Okay.
He's since moved back to Colorado, but, and he, oh my God, he plays the most beautiful, beautiful music on this recording. And then we get to John. And I don't know if we need another program to talk about John.
John and you have this incredible chemistry, this incredible musical kinship. It's like your twin sons of different mothers in so many ways. And you've been working with John Carpenter for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
In fact, I think your music is what first turned me on to Thunderclap and said, wow. And I started listening to the product he put out, including the stuff with Nomad Planets, his own band. And there's a certain sound that John has, mm-hmm. and he has so much warmth in his recordings. I'm sure he could do metal or any other style if he wanted to, but there's a certain organic groove at Thunderclap that comes through like no other studio. And there's a lot of great studios and a lot of great engineers, but John has a certain something, and it really comes through in your recordings.
It does. He and I do have a kinship. He and I do have some kind of spiritual thing
Wait
between us.
Wait till you see it on the stage tomorrow.
Oh, John's going to join you tomorrow.
John's going to join us tomorrow. Now, right. It was suggested to me, of course, that I come to Nashville.
To record?
To record this.
Okay.
And I said, well.
How tempting was that? I mean, you could have brought John with you.
It was tempting for about 30 seconds. The tempting part about it was I could be in the same town that Sam Bush was in,
mm-hmm.
and I could hire Sam Bush. I'd be in the same town that Stuart Duncan was in, and I could hire Stuart. I mean, these are all first call studio players, and I think the term is triple scale or double scale, but I would have been in the same town they were in, and perhaps they could play on my recording. And in the end, you know, I knew, you know, I don't know anything. But I understood that I needed to work with John. I needed to work with Don Sternberg. I needed to work with Char. That the right fiddler was going to show up. And, of course, it was Kyle. And I think the results indicate that that I've been listening.
Mm-hmm.
Because we got most of it right, I think.
I think you did. I think you did. And tomorrow we're going to hear it live. It's Eric, it's Char, and John Carpenter. And it's going to be at the Record Bin in Michigan City. We're going to do a CD release party. And when you come to this event, you'll get a CD. You'll get to hear the CD. I'm assuming you're going to play the album in its entirety.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So we're going to hear it in chronological order. Are you going to do it that way? Or
ooh.
Have you figured that out?
That would be cool.
You know, the first, you owe me a Coke.
The first thing that came to my mind was, ooh, that's planning and organizing.
Yeah.
Ooh, can I do that?
But it flows well. You know, it opens up with that upbeat Beating the Odds, and then it ends with The Music Set Me Free. Both are upbeat, toe-tapping, positive songs. You're hitting the notes, so to speak, in the beginning. You've gotten to where you want to be, and at the end, you're reflecting back that the music was what brought you here, and everything in between is the journey. So I think by doing it that way, the way you've laid this out, I mean, the songs don't necessarily relate to each other, but they flow well. And you've got the instrumentals. There's three instrumentals and one cover. And the instrumentals are placed at different perspectives where you kind of need that. You need that break, I guess, because the stories are pretty heavy.
Some of them can be.
Yeah. Yeah. So you need that to cleanse your palate kind of thing by just letting the music flow in and out.
All of this is an example of me getting out of my way.
Okay.
I didn't put the playlist together. I put several playlists together, and they were all poo-pooed.
So who did this, John?
No. Carrie Estrin did.
Okay. Now, she clearly knows what she's doing. That's evident, because this album, you put it in, and you don't want to punch a button.
When I hired Carrie, it was the result of people that I respected telling me, if you want to hire the best, go hire her. So that's what I did. Not always the easiest journey.
Mm-hmm.
She never tried to be my friend. She was always a professional. Her critiques were to the point. These songs were critiqued and revised 4 to 5 times before we settled on the final version.
Do you have multiple recorded versions of it? Or did you just work it out and then finally record the one once it was tweaked?
There's a couple of recorded versions, okay, with tweaked lyrics. But mostly it was all the work that her and I did, which was getting me on a writing schedule and me writing and then me submitting songs and then us meeting on the phone and me getting her critique, which I don't care for in life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care to be critiqued. That's what I wrote. Dang it. What do you mean that's not what I should say?
No one critiqued Dylan. What the heck?
That brings me up to my voice. You know, after a year of working with her, she was finally able to get to a point where she said, you need to sing better. I said, what now? And, you know, what about Neil? What about Jerry? You know, what about Warren Zevon? What about all these
guys, yeah, that have that unique voice?
Yeah. And she says, like, that's not going to work for you.
Wow.
But she also introduced me to Susan Anders in Nashville, who I've been studying with for, God, well over
as a vocal
year,
coach?
As a vocal coach.
Okay. What was the one thing that you took away that was probably the best piece of knowledge?
Oh, breathing.
Okay.
Apparently I was never breathing. And placement. weren't a place to. You know, when you listen to Muddy Waters and Greg Allman,
mm-hmm.
and you hear that husky, throaty, from the gut, bluesy thing, and you try to emulate it, you know, you either become good at it or you discover that that's not your voice. And that wasn't my voice. And she has helped me find my voice.
Okay.
And... unfortunately, it's not Muddy Waters. It's not Alan Wolf. It's not
Greg Allman.
It's not Greg Allman. It's not Aretha Franklin, you know, as much as I'd like it to be.
It's Eric Lammer.
That's right.
It's just me, and I'm okay with that now.
Interesting. There's 12 songs. There's a dozen songs here. You have three instrumentals, as we mentioned, Pretty, Green, and Breakfast at George's. All different styles. Mm-hmm. Green, like it might suggest, is kind of Celtic influenced.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty is absolutely pretty. Who's George and what was breakfast?
Well, you're from Lowell.
Simply put, I live in Lowell, Indiana. I moved to Lowell, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago.
Okay.
And I'd lived alone for years. And... there's a little restaurant in town called George's.
Okay. Simple story there.
Which I ate at a lot and began writing that song after having breakfast there one day, you know.
Okay.
It's really
that
simple.
All right. The only one on here that is a cover, and it's an interesting choice, and one I would not necessarily have thought because of all the songwriting and the emphasis you've had on songwriting. And I know you've got a few songs that you have sang, including some here that didn't make the album, like the cigarette song.
Right.
But you did The Wait by The Band. And I thought for a moment, maybe that's an homage to Levon Helm because he passed away recently. And I thought, okay, maybe. And then I thought, well, Eric very much would be a member of The Band. If you had to have a band, I think it would be The Band, because I think you
would
fit that niche. You would.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, maybe this is just an homage to The Band itself, because as you said, music set you free, and I've got to think, because of the style you've had over the years, that they had to have been an influence.
They were certainly an influence, but truth be told, mm-hmm. you know, I'm paying tribute to a lot of people on this recording. Through the way I play the guitar, through the way I write, through the stories that I tell. As you know, as a writer, you pay tribute to people, and you don't necessarily say their names, but
right.
they've had a huge influence on what you do. Recording The Wait was simply a request from our radio promoter, who is thinking on an international level, I'm a newbie.
They want something familiar.
Something to get our foot in the door.
Okay.
Because this radio promotion campaign is going to be on an international level.
Okay. It's interesting that you would do that because I had the same conversation with Chasm Sultan from Utopia just a week ago. And the last song on his album is Elvis Costello's What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding. And he does it in his own style, and it's definitely not the Elvis. There's not the sarcasm that Elvis has. He does it in a more straightforward way. And again, he's like, this song is timeless. Look what's going on. We still have to ask that question. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? It applies today as it did 20, 30 years ago. So again, he said the same thing. He goes, these are my songs. These are new songs. People don't necessarily know them. So if you're going to gravitate as a radio guy, maybe I'll play the first one that's a cover and see what people think. And then we'll say, well, you know, here's one of his. But fortunately, I've known you long enough and you've been in here long enough that now I know these songs already as much as I know The Wait. I want to play this whole album, and we just don't have the time. We've got about 15, 16 minutes left. What's one that you would like us to play that either we have played before and it sounds different or that we've never played?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Because they're all standout songs.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We tried very hard, and that's why some of the tunes didn't make the final cut. We tried very hard. Again, I used to think Northwest Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Now you think
I used
global.
To think Midwest. we're thinking globally, and we wanted every track to be as absolutely strong as we could come up with, so that we didn't have any. Now, if you have an opinion about a song, you might hit skip, mm-hmm. but you won't hit skip because of a lousy song. That's what we're hoping, you know. Well, we haven't played Let's All Get in the Way yet.
That's true. And that is, as you know, one of my favorites. In fact, I didn't see it on here. I went to Char, I'm like, oh my God, he didn't put that on there. I forgot the title, and I was thinking it was John Lewis.
Me too.
And then we both looked at it, we scratched our heads like, what?
I did the same thing. I'm like, oh my gosh, well, wait.
And of course, the term Let's All Get in the Way was one of those terms that John Lewis, one of those sayings mm-hmm. that John Lewis left with. You know, the more popular would be Let's Make Good Trouble.
Right.
Or Go Out and Make Good Trouble.
But let's all get in the way. You do use that line in the song.
I do use that line in the song.
Yeah. But I think this one is a little catchier, so I think that makes for a better song.
And again, me getting out of my way mm-hmm. and allowing things to flow is what produced lyrically.
So you got out of your way, but we're going to get in everyone else's way. All right. This is a tribute.
Yes.
And in the past shows, you've talked a lot about John Lewis. And I actually quoted you in my column with that he mattered and that he worked for things and stood for things that we can't forget. And that's why you did this homage to him.
Oh, yeah, because his work isn't even nearly over yet. You know, all the work that he did,
mm-hmm.
his, of course, his physical contributions may be over, but the spirit of it
mm-hmm.
needs to continue and has a long way to go. This is opinion, this is personal opinion, but I believe it has a long way to go.
All right. And you are the creator of this song, so you can have that opinion. And we're going to share it right now with the listeners.
You know, I'm hoping John Lewis will become a folk hero, as you pointed out. Mm-hmm. Dylan's tune about Emmett Till, you know.
Joan Baez.
Virgil Caine.
And Joe Hill, the union rep.
When
I hear this song, I think of Joan and Joe Hill. To me, this song has that weight. So let's let the listeners decide. This is Eric's original tune about John. This is all, Let's All Get in the Way.
Born in sharecropper's son in Alabama, fought a non-violent fight for mankind. Stood tall on the bridge there in Selma, didn't back down from speaking his mind. Was arrested and beaten, rose up again, laid his life on the line to be free. He was there when colored people won the right to vote. Make good trouble for you and for me. John Lewis, an American hero, is alive in my memory today. Like a beacon, he's standing there saying, let's all get in the way. He was honored and elected to Congress, and he served there for 17 terms. He was awarded the Medal of Freedom, an award he so proudly had earned. Was the champion of nonviolent protest, a lesson he learned from Dr. King. He was admired by members of both parties. He implored them to do the right thing. John Lewis, an American hero, is alive in my memory today. Like a beacon, he's standing there saying, let's all get in the way. Thank you. taken. We saw George Floyd murdered in the street. A crime that's been going on for decades. Its acceptance is becoming obsolete. And the cities are alive with cries for justice and awareness. John taught us with love. The man was a giant, strong as Goliath, peaceful and gentle like a dove. John Lewis, an American hero, is alive in my memory today. Like a beacon, he's standing there saying, let's all get in the way. John Lewis, an American hero, is alive in my memory today. On a mountain, he's standing there saying, let's all get in the way. Let's all get in the way. John Lewis.
John Lewis. We lost him a year ago?
Just about a year ago, I think.
Wow. Man had been around for years. You tell his life story there. I had forgotten he was got the presidential award, you know, congressional medal. Wow. This pretty long journey he had himself.
Indeed.
So this we were talking also that there's a lot of songs out there that were written about real life people. And Joe Hill was one of them we mentioned. And as I was telling you, I was too young to remember Joe Hill. Or maybe I wasn't, I just didn't pay attention. But I remember hearing Joan, and I love Joan Baez. And I turned on to Joan because of Bob. So I went to see her, and I heard her sing that song live at one of the colleges here in Chicago. And I thought, who is this guy that she is still so passionate about singing? You can tell she means it when she sings it. So I went and looked him up, and I got to realize the union stuff he had accomplished and things he did and the organizational skills he had and that he was basically killed for it. And it made me look him up. And I'm thinking that maybe there's some kids that are being born now that will not know who John Lewis was because of the headlines or whatever. And maybe they'll hear this song and they'll say, well, let's go look up who this guy is. What's he talking about? And maybe they will then step up and make a difference. So when you write a song like this, is that even in your mind? Or is this just your personal tribute to someone that you respect? Or do you think of it, the impact it could have?
No, you don't think about things like that. If I had thought about the song wouldn't have been honest. And you wouldn't have appreciated it as much because I would have made it up. Mm-hmm. And I would have tried to manipulate it. And I would have tried to make it say something. And you would have heard it and you would have said, well, that's a great idea, but it just doesn't really hit the mark.
Right.
But when I'm just the instrument and I meditate and get my mind right, and then you can't think because you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
And when that energy flows through you, the song is the end result, you know.
Now, there's another song on here about racism, and that is We Need to Learn to Love.
Oh,
a powerful song.
Yes.
And it says in your notes, you have all the lyrics. I want to let the listeners know, in the book or in the CD, there's a booklet. It's got all the lyrics. And there's little footnotes at the bottom. And you mentioned about how racism is a horrible disease and you grew up in Chicago, but you also mentioned that this is based on a true story. Was the character Jimmy someone you really knew? Or is this you taking some dramatic license of a story you read?
I took some dramatic license. Jimmy was a person that I knew, a person that I know.
Okay.
And I met him in high school and we hung. And we went to the clubs, and we had breakfast when the sun was coming up. All of that is true. And the part about the gun shooting was about a story that I remembered about a high school basketball player, and his name was Benji. Somebody out there remembers this story. And he was highly recruited. And he was, for a period of time in sports, you know, the most popular thing happening in Chicago.
Okay.
Because he was such an insanely gifted athlete, you know, and he didn't make it out of high school.
He was shot. So you took that real life story, mixed it with someone you knew and your adventures, and made this song.
To create, you know, the beginning and the end of the story.
Right.
Yeah.
Every day we're seeing headlines of shootings again. Every day. Whether it's a drive-by, whether it's a carjacking, whether it was, I think it was today or yesterday, I saw another officer was shot. Where's this craziness coming from? And you take an anti-gun stance on one of the songs in here. You know, I found out Daddy was wrong when he said it was your right to carry a gun and yada, yada. What are your thoughts on...
Fear.
Fear?
Well, yeah, fear is the root of so many of our actions, you know. And found out my daddy was wrong isn't a stance for or against. But imagine this kid who's been taught by his father. I was taught by my father. You were taught by your father. Taught by your father. And then standing there witnessing what he witnesses and then has the realization, it's like, oh my God, my dad was wrong the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
What he told me isn't this. This is something different. And now I've got to sort this out. I've got to come to terms with what I just witnessed, realizing that what my dad taught me is not this.
There's a line in that song where you're talking about standing backstage and pulling your gun. Where did that come from? That part of that song jumped at me because I'm like, did that happen to Eric? Did he see that? Is that one of his musician friends?
It was based on an interview. The whole story is based on an interview of a young man who was playing guitar at the festival in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And in his interview, he pointed out that basically everyone was armed.
Wow.
Bands, crew, and the realization that hit him was, you know, he pulled his gun, so did everyone else, but all they could do was turn tail and run to save themselves.
Right.
Their guns did them no good at all. Didn't save anybody.
Wow. I needed to hear that because I was that was one of the lines in there. And you have a lot of those lines where the one line will jump out of a song more so than some of the others. And it makes you just pause for a second. I hit rewind a couple of times, if that's the right term for a CD. I don't even know. But I went back a few seconds. I listened to it again. I'm like, okay, he did say that. And I was trying to, you know, picture, even with all our conversations, to try to pinpoint where you were coming from in that. And you're a complicated kind of guy in a very simple way. And I mean that in the broadest sense.
Yeah, Char would know that. You guys can have
I mean, would you agree with that, Char?
Oh,
you
that's
know
perfect. Her. That's
he's,
perfect.
He's complicated, it's but perfect. He's very simple at the same time. It's he's like perfect. Both sides of the coin at the same time. Like he's spinning instead of laying on one side or the other.
And, I totally
and
agree.
Your songs hit me that way. They make me think, but at the same time, they make me dance in the seat. So there's depth. There's enjoyment, there's energy, there's sullenness, there's happiness, there's sadness. I mean, I guess you could say that about a lot of songwriters, but this album, I keep going back and saying, this is the album that you, if you made no other album but this one, you've earned your legacy.
There's,
this is wonderful.
There's 50 years invested in that recording, no doubt about it.
And I really want people to come to this event tomorrow. Again,
we're going to have food. What kind of food are we going to have?
Oh, popcorn.
We're going to bring some. What kind would the listeners like?
Oh, I don't know.
We're going to bring some kind of food.
We're going to have some food.
We're going to have some food.
Food
some
and
CDs,
music.
Some music and fun.
That's right.
It's going to be amazing. We got John Carpenter.
That's right.
John's I mean, this play. Is going to be a historic thing with John and Eric on the stage. So
1601,
if you miss it, I
Franklin.
I don't even know what to say.
Michigan City. If you've never been to the Record Bin, this is the show to see. It's a the official CD release party. Refreshments will be there. You'll take home a copy of the CD we've been playing from with all the lyrics and the elephant that we talked about. Did we talk about the elephant?
No.
That was off air.
Yes, we did.
The cover is an elephant sitting on a branch, and I love this. I mean, I would buy this album just because of the cover, and I've done that from albums before. I'm like, I love that art. I'm going to buy this and hope that the art inside is as good, and it truly is. I think this album all the way around, from your lyrics, lyric sheets to the colorization to everything about this. And it's an eco-friendly pack, no plastic involved. So I like that.
Yeah.
You know?
And I can't thank you enough for years and years and years of supporting my quirkiness and the art that I produced and getting behind this recording so much and laying compliments on me that leave me kind of speechless. So thank you so much.
Well, you know, I wouldn't say them if I didn't mean them, and I do really mean this. This is a really good album, and I want people to come to this event. It's tomorrow, 6 o'clock, right?
7 o'clock show.
Six door, 7 o'clock, 7 to 9, about, to play this album. We're going to play it in its entirety. You're going to have a copy to take it home. We're going to have food. There's going to maybe be a little Q&A. Maybe we can, you know, do a meet and greet. You can sign them, whatever you want to do.
Absolutely.
And we're going to have fun.
We are having amazing
fun.
If you believe in supporting local music, please come out and do that. That's what this is about. Eric's had a long journey, and this journey is far from over, I hope. But it certainly is at a crossroads right now that you have made the best record. I can't wait to see what you come up with next, because the bar is high. The bar is very high.
Yeah, yeah.
You and Carpenter both have a lot of studying to do, you know, because you got to top this now.
Wonderful. I love that. I love that.
We take
you know,
challenge.
John does record all kinds of stuff,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't heard everything that comes out of his studio, but I've got to think that this is, you know, one of the best he's ever done.
Mm-hmm. I have a lot of respect for John's work. As I said, a lot of the things I've heard. The only other person that he's got this kind of rapport with, in my opinion, that I've heard, and again, I have not heard everything, is the work he's done with Jeff Sarver. There's some kind of kinship between him and
yes.
Jeff that is magical.
Him and Mark.
That's their own band. So I guess that you would expect that. But you're different. Jeff is different. You're not with him, so to speak, in a band, in a project. But he has become a member of whatever it is you do, you know, in your projects. He is all invested.
This recording, and John does the heavy. He probably has the biggest contribution.
Mm-hmm.
John and Sternberg, who has the uncanny ability to play exactly what needs to be played and nothing else.
Wow.
And without being told.
Now, is he local?
Evanston.
Evanston, okay. I know the name, but I don't think I've ever met him.
Protege of Jethro Burns, the late great Jethro Burns. Look up Jethro Burns and Soundstage or Austin City Limits, and you see a younger Don Sternberg as Jethro's second mandolin player, Jethro, of course, being the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Kyle, who just dropped into our laps and played brilliantly. This is Shar's first...
Your debut.
...recording experience.
Wow.
And
John made it really fun.
I'll leave it up to the listeners to shower her with compliments, but holy cow.
All right. Well, keep up with Eric at ericlambert.com. He's also on Facebook. But if you go to www.ericlambert.com, you'll find all kinds of links. You do lessons. You have online lessons and all sorts of stuff.
I teach one-on-one on Zoom. I teach workshops live through the eCam application. Of course, I have two different projects on truefire.com. And one last thing I'd like to add, we're doing this pre-release party
mm-hmm.
for Northwest Indiana only, because we've always had so much support and love from this area that I eventually, it eventually became my home after moving in from Chicago. The CD doesn't go worldwide until October 1st.
Okay, so we can get it now, tomorrow, at the Record Bin, 1601 Franklin Street, Michigan City. See this music, hear this music live, and let's take it out with the song that is Eric's musical biography. This is track 12 of 12, The Music Set Me Free. Let it set you free as well. We'll see you tomorrow, 6 p.m., 7 p.m. showtime.
I was standing alone in a crowded room. Everyone was speaking their mind. Invisible though, they didn't have a clue about the me I was gonna find. I sat down with a friend, he was playing guitar. Showed me the chords to his tune. The clouds split wide open, I found my voice. A bright light took over the room. I'm in love with the world when I play the guitar. It's the best version of me. Not a care or a worry, not a wound or a scar. The music set me free. The music, it set me free. The guitar was my ticket out of the old neighborhood. The steel mills and run in the streets. Stages and places I'd never have known if I hadn't followed my dreams. I'm in love with the world when I play the guitar. It's the best version of me. Not a care or a worry, not a wound or a scar. The music set me free. The music set me free. I can still hurt and blue I can be, but it gave me the courage to forge my own way. The joy isn't happy and free. I'm in love with the world when I play the guitar. It's the best version of me. Not a care or a worry, not a wound or a scar. The music set me free. The music set me free.